Okay, I think this will be fine. Alright.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. You know, like, I think there were, especially the part which you were, that you recorded. I don't know, I have this impression that when you write, you kind of, you know, what you put down in writing is not always what you kind of have in mind, you know, but then when you speak, it's just a lot more natural, and yeah, then it kind of like gives you a little bit more of an idea what someone is really thinking. So, I mean, not much that I wanted to, you know, to discuss with you. There's one thing, you know, that is kind of like, you know, you obviously do a lot of stuff, okay, and I appreciate your comment on the fact that caste and the wellness, you know, like your caste has been forcing you in a way to do things that you might not have chosen, have you had the opportunity of not doing them, okay?
Yeah.
But there's also the other point that it does help you sometimes to try things that you would not do it otherwise, you know? Yeah. And I was thinking about connecting a little bit with your reflection on the Project Week. You know, you were kind of thrown in a group that you probably would not have chosen had the situation been different, okay? Yeah. But you still enjoyed it, and you got to know new people, and, you know, the kind of, maybe even in a way, although you didn't go on Project Week, you know, help you, you know, organize things in a certain way. So I think overall, and I understand that when someone is really busy, even just doing one extra thing is just a burden. But sometimes, you know, it really does push you a little bit outside your boundaries, and so it's okay, you know? You probably won't take pottery class in university, but that's okay, you know? And maybe, you know, origami will be something that you might, you know, when people get into it, they really get into it.
Right.
So Miss Tippi is just crazy about it. And someone has done a EE on origami.
Oh, wow. Right.
So, you know, like, you'll never know. You know, you might become one of these people that are there. And no, in general, my question is more about this situation of this coronavirus, especially for you, given that you were supposed to go and collect a prize for your, you know, with your group, which didn't materialize. There's no Project Week. Now there is this online thing. You know, obviously, I'm not sure how much you cared about your prom, but there's a lot of things in your life as a grade 11 student that have been completely wiped off.
Yeah.
What is left is probably, you know, the academic part, which is, it's okay. And I'm sure that, you know, you're a very good student, so you, you're okay with that, but it's not probably the most fun part as well. How do you take this all in? You know, because I have the feeling sometimes that your generation is a lot better of dealing with these unpredictable circumstances. Well, I don't know. I mean, for me, I would be really gutted. You know, I would be feeling really, really upset. In general, from what I see, and I see from Luca and, you know, but also from the people I'm talking to, you kind of like take it, you know, that's what it is. So, but I want to know how you feel about that, especially because you really wanted to go and collect your prize and, you know.
Well, you're talking about the Wharton thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, didn't necessarily want to go collect the prize as much as just win. Like, we thought if we went there in person, it'd be an advantage, but, like, yeah. But, I mean,
Is that been put completely on hold, or is that?
No, it was online. It's over already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how did it go?
Oh, no, we won. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, then it was correct, you know, my thing. Okay. So,
I mean, I'm, like, fine with it. I actually prefer it to normal, like, obviously not the virus situation, but just everything online, because that just means we can, like, sleep in a bit more. And it just feels so much less stressful. I don't know why.
Well, you've cut out a lot of your activities, you know, like plus for, you know, time to get to school back and forth. You know, that's a lot of time that you are not, I don't want to say you're wasting, but obviously that you were using for different purposes before. And
that's
now
like the worst part for me. like, I don't mind not being able to go out, actually. Like, I haven't left this house in over 2 months, and I can't feel any better.
You're not even going outside for some exercise?
I have not went outside for over 2 months. Like, the only exercise I'm doing is at home as well. So it's like, yeah, I don't even feel bad about it. So
you don't do any exercise?
No, I do at home, but I just don't go outside.
Okay, you do it at home. So what do you do? Yeah.
I have a yoga mat, so I do like those kind of exercises.
Okay, yeah. So lunge training.
Yeah.
Okay. it's okay to go outside, you know, like you mm-hmm. Why don't go outside? Because you don't like it, or
just can't be bothered.
Okay. So you could be like that if this situation lasts for a year and a half. You're happy.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to. At least based on my past experience, yeah, I don't see that changing. So
okay, all right, fair enough.
But like the worst part for me is not doing these activities because I feel like I'm not doing enough. You know, like that's the same thing normally. Like I don't like even though I have a lot of these activities, I feel like I need to be doing more. Cause I don't know.
So because that's one of the things, obviously, if I look at all the things that you've been doing, you've been taking a lot mm-hmm. on. Okay, so how much of that has been because it's something that you really wanted to do, and how much is that is something that you know that you could do it and it would look good on your CV, and so you took that on, but if you really think about it, you really didn't care much about it.
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't actually know what I want to do. Or okay. Like I'm not like my brother. Do you know my brother?
Yep.
Yeah, so like his true passion is drama. Like if he isn't studying drama right now, I don't know what he'd be doing. He'd just be like helpless. But for me, like I don't have that. Like what I enjoy is anything that I'm good at, which is like really shallow. So I don't really know. Like I'm doing all this stuff, but I only really like if I'm doing well in something, I automatically enjoy it.
Is that because you like to sort of win, and that's a form of winning in a way?
I think everyone likes to win, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily that. I don't even know like how to, like I know it's a terrible long-term way of looking at things, because you know a person can't possibly be good at everything. So, like, I have to eventually settle down and find this thing that I actually enjoy. But, like, right now, I'm just not sure.
Okay. Let me try to... So, I think there are two different things. The one thing is, you're saying, you haven't found a true passion, like, one thing that you're mm-hmm. kind of, like... That's basically, you know, that your life. But, to be honest, Kevin, I don't know, I'm almost 50, and I haven't found it either. You know, like there's a lot of people that live their lives, and it's a good life. But you never have that one thing that kind of sparkle, kind of the fire that you think like, oh my God, my life has a purpose, and this is the thing. Right. You know, there's a lot of people that kind of enjoy different things, and that's, you know, like someone can be really focused on one thing, and then other people are just more, you know, they look at more. Rounded people, and that's not a bad thing in itself, you know.
Right.
I don't think that is, you know, like in a way you're thinking if I don't have that, it means that I'm short of something. No, it just means that you are a different type of person than your brother, you know. And then the other thing is that you might find it later on, you know, like mm-hmm. you at the moment you're doing different things and you're good at most of them or very good at most of them, and so you kind of like take pleasure in that, which I don't think it's bad in itself. It doesn't need to become an obsession, you know, like it's if you're not the first in everything, it's still good, you know. Nobody's gonna judge you if you don't win, you know, your competition and you get second, you know, like it's still pretty good even if you get second. But there is one thing that it's kind of like, I think with time you'll find that it becomes really exhausting to just spread yourself too thin in many directions. And I think I've done that mistake because I was very similar to you, you know, like I had quite a few things that I thought I was decently good at, and I kept on doing them all because it gave me a feeling and a purpose.
Right.
You know, you think like, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm good, you know, I keep mm-hmm. on doing it. Mm-hmm. Then I got to a point where, you know, especially when I start, you know, I was married, I was having kids, and it was just too much. You know, I felt like the juggler that I was like constantly trying to keep the ball in the air. and I hit a big wall. And then I had to rethink about it. So just keep it in mind, you know, sometimes it's okay just to say, you know, I let go of a few things, you know, because it's, you know, nobody's going to judge you. That's a, and you should be judging yourself, you know. Let me ask you this. What do you think is, when you think about someone that you consider successful, what are the things that you're looking at? Who do you can you think about someone who you think is successful?
Well, I mean, like, the obvious example is Elon Musk. Like, everyone would say that, I'm pretty sure.
No, I want you to think about it. Do you consider him successful?
Yeah.
Okay. What are the thing that you value and in sort of his life?
I have no clue.
Think about it. You said Elon Musk and you didn't say Bill Gates, for instance, okay?
I mean, so they both are successful. Like,
No. But there's nothing wrong. You know, when you kind of put your mind into one person rather than another, there is something intimately that you kind of like you're drawn more to one person than another. There must be a reason why, at the moment, if you think about a successful person, his name comes up, you know, ahead of many others, because there's a lot of successful people out there.
I mean, like, if I were to actually say someone that, like, I feel like I respect more, because, you know, obviously with this entire thing where he's saying, oh yeah, the coronavirus is not that big of a deal, it's not exactly the wisest thing to say, but there's this other guy called Bill Ackman, and I didn't know much about him until recently, but, like, he seems like a very, like, honest person. Not like honest as in, you know, like that kind of honest where, oh yeah, all you want to do is like help people. Like, he's still someone who wants to succeed for himself, but okay, he's honest in terms of saying what he truly believes in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't think that Elon Musk is not honest?
I think that his honesty, like, okay, all honesty, I suppose, like, you know, is like double-edged. Like, to a certain point, you're trying to help yourself. But with Elon Musk, I feel like that's, like, so blatantly obvious, because he's saying, you know, like, this coronavirus is not that big of a deal, but that's only because his factories are closed. Like, that's why he wants his factories reopened, right?
So you would think that he's definitely not honest as a person, because he's minding his own business more than...
I'm not saying that that's an issue with him. No. I think it's just, like, I would say it's not the right time right now.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, he made those comments about it, like, around the same time he's saying, oh yeah, we're going to have to start slashing workers' pay, which makes sense because, like, him as a business manager, he needs his business to survive as his top priority. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's saying the right thing in this case in terms of...
Okay, but nevertheless, you still think that he's a very successful person.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you must value something else more than sort of his... in a way, lack of true honesty, or sort of like his sort of putting his own employees' personal interest ahead of other things. Yeah. So what are those things?
Elon Musk? Mm-hmm. That he's like, he leads people. Like, he seems to be good at literally every single thing he touches.
So leadership.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Okay. And the second thing is that sort of he's successful in what he does.
Yeah.
If, when he starts thinking about something, he normally gets it done. Yeah. Okay. Okay. What else?
I also think that as a person, he's quite good at selling himself. Like, I don't, like, he's someone where he's obviously super smart, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mad smart. But is he smart enough, like, as he presents himself? Because I feel like he's one of those people, it's like Steve Jobs, right? Like, he's obviously a very smart person, like, far smarter than, like, me or anyone that I know of. But he can't possibly be that smart where he can single-handedly invent all of this stuff. So it's like he has an entire team of people in the background. But he's just so good at selling it that people believe in this single man as, like, the face of Tesla, the face of SpaceX. And I think that's pretty
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are two things. You know, one, I would say that might be linked to be a good leader. You know, right. A good leader is someone who is, in a way, able to lead and able to draw attention on himself in order to allow other people to work without having right. all the sort of the attention. So letting them do their job, and I will be the one that media will be focusing on in good and bad.
Right.
And the other aspect, I think, is that there are some people that are really good self-advocates, you know, like they can, you know, if they're worth 100, they can sell themselves to 150, you know. And some people are worth 150, but they cannot sell themselves for, you know, more than 100.
Yeah.
And that's a skill, you know, like, mm-hmm. or it's a natural talent for someone, you know, the bullshitting around. Honestly, when you start interviewing, you yeah. see like, you know, king of the ring, you know, like yeah. they just kept in and you think like, wow, that guy was selling, you know, air to me with no substance, but still, you know, you come out from an interview and you think like, oh, that's not too bad. And then when you yeah. think about it, you think like, oh, that guy was just like bullshit, you know, like there was nothing behind it. So there are these two things. The fact that he's successful at what he does, I think very much resonate with the way you are, you know, it's someone who has engaged in many different things and it seems to be successful. Now, bear in mind that Tesla is still a loss-making business, yeah. you know, and it probably will be for many more years. So mm-hmm. he's good at that. He's selling yeah, an image yeah. of his companies that are way above what the reality yeah. of it is, you know, so that's part of who he is. But, you know, it's interesting. I think it's, if you stop thinking about it, you know, for a second, you know, like, sometimes we look at people, we admire people because they're either very good at something that we don't feel that we're really good at, or that they emphasize the positive aspect, the strengths that we have, and the sort of like, you know, they power them up, and then you're thinking about, wow, that what I would like to, you yeah. know, me to be. But he's also an actor, you know, he's a complete mm-hmm. other. You see what's his name, his son? It's just like he came in and said, you know, I'm gonna, my share price of my companies are completely overpriced.
Yeah, it's, I mean, too high, it's like,
you know, it's called insider trading. You yeah. can't just do it, you know, like you can't say publicly things about your company because you have insider information. I mean, the guy, honestly, I mean, it's a genius, but then it's a genius that, you know, could end
it's up, incredibly, you know, stupid genius.
Yeah. You know, just
yeah.
bear in mind, you know, sometimes those are the things that, you know, we look at people, but not always, you know, we don't always have a full picture of what their life is mm-hmm. is about. Anyway.
Before I forget, can I quickly ask you, just sure. for the cast thing, like, am I, like, meeting all the requirements?
I think you are, you know, you are very effective in the sense that you put it out there, what's the learning outcome, yeah. and then, to be honest, I know that some of these things are not very heartfelt, you know, like, yeah, you know, yeah. you have to do it, and it's okay, you know, like, it's, I do get it, but I'm still hoping that the kind of stopping for a second to think about what you have done, and maybe next year, if you think back at where you started at the beginning of grade 11 and where you got at the end of grade 12, mm-hmm. will give you some purpose about even the pottery class that you had yeah. to take. Like, it would just give you an idea. Maybe, you know, by then you will think about, ooh, okay, there was something
that... I'm actually worried about, like, the pottery thing. Like, it says two seasons, but obviously this is...
I'm not sure about how they're going to be, you know, we're going to be... But look, Kevin, it's nobody's fault, okay? So... Yeah. I don't think they will ask you to do pottery this summer if you're concerned about that.
Yeah. I actually switched as well. I'm not doing pottery. I'm doing origami.
Oh, now you switched. So now that's okay. Well, you can carry on doing your origami during the summer then.
Yeah. And also for service is at 18 months, so I have to keep doing it next year as well, right? Hmm. So the only thing I have to really do now is service.
Yeah. The you've requested the sort of like the supervisor evaluation for the one that were season 1 and 2. Did you send out the request for United Nations, MUN?
No clue.
No, I don't think so, because it doesn't appear in the... So the one that are just season 1 and 2, of which MUN is one, you should send out the request for evaluation, the supervisor evaluation. Once you've got that, then you can click on as completed.
Okay.
And you, okay.
So it has to be 2 reflections minimum per season or per activity, right?
But I mean, I think you're okay for the time being. I mean, there is a lot there, and you're doing so much, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay.
Send out the request for the supervisor, for the one that you can sort of like close.
Submit, yeah.
And then I'm gonna ask Ms. Farr about, you know, what's happening with the. But I think it's nobody's fault. You know, like it's we can't have it. So that's you know, obviously, even on these things, the IB will have to adjust. You know, that we can penalize. All good?
Yeah, all good.
Have a good day, Kevin.
Yeah,
and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you.
In class. Ciao, have a good day.